shrimp gumbo.
Boiled shrimp. Fried
shrimp. Fun fact,
shrimp.
You can't spell platypus without a typo.
All right, let's just do this show, shall we?
The following is a Galactic Network podcast. For more, go to gncast.com. That's GNCASTS.com.
It's Thursday, September 29th, 2016. Welcome to the Alien Invasion number 196, a Galactic Network podcast. I'm Dave Nelson along with Brad Ludwig and Anessa Moyens. Hey, you two.
Hey.
Hello.
How's it going?
Pretty good. I'm full of Wendy's.
That's what she said? Is that what she said? No?
It could be.
Yeah, I guess it could be.
Yeah. So we are here to talk about all things extraterrestrial. Before we do, though, how was you guys' week? What'd you do this week?
I had a migraine.
That's always fun, right?
Yay!
Well, Debbie Downer.
I was like, well, let's see. I woke up Monday morning, yacked, went to work, came home, yacked, went to sleep, migraine.
So this is an improvement over what's been going on so far this week.
Kinda, yeah.
Yeah, no, I can function with migraine so long as the nausea isn't there, but the nausea sets in and I'm down for the count.
Mm.
Boom. Hey, here's a happy story. Alex and I are going to be taking martial arts starting on Saturday.
Oh, neat. That's fun. Yes. That's a lot of fun.
Father-son time and doing some things to help with some of Alex's motor planning and things like that for autism. So I think it's going to have long-term benefits as well as, you know, it's good exercise and something that he and I can do together. So yeah. Looking forward to that.
Yeah, cool. All right. Want to thank real quick Monkey Warhol, a Minneapolis musician, for providing our new intro music. And we have actually new outro music that I'm going to tell you about at the end of the show. So stick around
what?
For that.
Say what?
Yeah. By the way, soundcloud.com/Monkey Warhol is where you can find more of his music. This is the podcast where we talk about beings from elsewhere in the galaxy, or even bigger, the universe, and their appearances in film, TV, video games, comic books, science, real life, etc., etc. The show is divided into three sections: the news, the sightings, feature, and our picks for the week. Without further ado, let's start it with the news.
In the news,
the Swedish lobbyists, known as the Swedish Association for Sexuality Education, or RFSU, is pressuring the space agency, NASA, to send contraception into space as they may come in, quote, handy, if aliens have sex with, quote, some hot earthlings. Aw, yeah. The campaigner said in a video directed to NASA, "We know that you guys sometimes send stuff up into space that whatever life is out there, so that whatever life is out there will get an idea of what goes on Earth. Even though we can't be sure what the aliens' sex organs look like, a condom might always come in handy if they decide to visit Earth and find some hot earthlings." The contraceptive has been dubbed the Swedish Space Condom, and its purpose is to raise awareness of contraception here on Earth. RFSU said in a statement accompanying the video, "The condom might look simple, but it's the single contraceptive that offers protection against both unplanned pregnancies and sexually transmitted infections. More than 225 million people still lack contraceptives worldwide. The shortage is closely interlinked with poverty, norms surrounding sexuality, and lack of political efforts. Every year, almost 300,000 girls and women die due to complications of related pregnancy, delivery, or unsafe abortions. More than 1 million humans die from AIDS-related illnesses annually. So, use condoms here on Earth and in space. Protect yourself from the space AIDS."
I figured out, okay, besides this being a marketing ploy by this organization to spread a really good message, right? I think it's
it's a great message.
Yeah, I think they're also using it because they want planet Earth to be known as the pleasure planet. You know, like on Star Trek.
What Ryza?
Ryza, yeah. See, it's going to... The aliens are going to find out about these condoms just floating up there, and they'll be like, oh, hey, this must be the pleasure planet. And then the word's going to spread throughout the galaxy, and Earth will forever be known as the pleasure planet.
How would they even know if they are male or have some kind of sex organ that is external where they're supposed to put it?
Maybe they would put it on their nose. Maybe they have really long noses.
We have no
prehensile noses. That's just weird. I'm sorry.
Well, that's the fun part is finding out.
Elephants.
Space elephants.
Space elephants. Sorry.
Isn't the fun part, though, finding out how to use it? Like, say you're an alien.
You blow it up into a balloon.
And you come to Earth.
Hide in the spaceship. See how it withstands zero oxygen.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, I have to worry about the actual effectiveness of these condoms after floating in space for a while. Probably wouldn't trust that they're seaworthy anymore.
Seaworthy? And filled with tinier men.
So, no, I think it's a great marketing thing to raise awareness. And, I mean, we're talking about it, right?
Exactly.
It worked for somebody.
It worked already. And I asked my wife today, while I was telling her what we're going to talk about on the show, because I always do, and she's like, yeah, I saw that. So it's not just us talking about this. It's the norms. The norms are talking about it. Although my wife is not a norm. She's a total sci-fi and science geek.
Yeah, she is.
There we go. Condoms in space.
Gotta watch out for those micrometeorites.
Yeah, you gotta watch out.
Another use for the condoms. Protection from those darn meteorites.
I think a chunk of rock, even small rock, moving at that speed. I
guess they would be micrometeoroids?
Well, they're
not meteorites. They're condoms. They're not here on Earth yet.
They're condoms in space, so they have to be really good, right?
Damn right.
Sure, yes.
And if you're going to have aliens, you don't know what's on their sex organ. They might have spikes, so you need them tough. Okay.
Would they be a cat? Don't they have spikes on their penis?
Yeah. Why? Or no, something? We're done now.
Okay.
Follow this Galactic Network podcast on Twitter, like our Facebook page, or subscribe to our YouTube channel. Find us by searching for Galactic Netcasts on all the major social networks or click on the icons at gncast.com.
Okay, China unveils world's biggest radio telescope in search for extraterrestrial life.
Zip.
Of course they had to have the biggest, right?
Well, yeah.
Well, if you want to find aliens, you have to have the biggest radio telescope.
So they tell me.
Unless the aliens are tiny.
Well,
in here on Earth.
No, you want, if they're tiny, then you especially want something big, right?
Yeah, I suppose you would really want like ginormous telescopes. But then at some point, you want a microscope if they're here on Earth.
Mm-hmm. Maybe it's a combination of both, a microscope and a telescope.
Oh my God.
A micro-telescope?
It's an oxymoron telescope.
Okay, so on Sunday, they officially switched on this huge thing, launching its mission to hunt for aliens and explore space. The 500... I'm going to do that during this entire episode, by the way. That condoms
explore
in space,
space!
Explore space! Yeah. The 500-meter aperture spherical telescope, or FAST, was built in a mountainous region of China's Xunxia province. I don't know if I pronounced that correct, but sounded good. 17 years after the project was first proposed by astronomers and more than 5 years after work began on the $180 million structure, according to reports, 8,000 people were moved from their homes to make room for the telescope, which is the size of 30 football pitches. I don't know how big a football pitch is. Do you guys
I'm going to go with pretty big.
Yeah. You don't want to do...
Because we're talking soccer.
I was going to say, is it soccer that
American
we're talking about?
Folk.
Yeah, I think so.
Well, they're using the word pitch.
Yeah.
So I'm going to assume that that is a British thing.
It's about the same size
yes,
as a football field.
Field.
Yeah. It's also made up of 4,450 panels.
Wow.
Yeah. this sucker is huge. The displaced villagers were due to be compensated with cash or new housing and offer jobs in tourism or support services around the FAST project as part of a $269 million relocation budget set aside by the government. So they spent $180 million on the actual structure and then another $269 million for the whole relocation dealy.
Seems legit.
Yeah. Suppose a Chinese news agency described FAST as a super sensitive ear capable of spotting very weak messages if there are any from space. The media outlet said that in a recent trial, FAST had detected high quality electromagnetic waves sent from a pulsar about 1,351 light years from Earth. So I think it's off to a good start.
I would think so. It sounds good.
Do you think, okay, here's my question. Do you think the sacrifices that were made in order to make this, not only financial, but displacing all these people, do you think it was a big enough sacrifice if the payoff is going to be eventually either finding out about aliens somewhere in the universe or making contact with them?
I think so.
Despite the fact that 8,000 people had to be moved.
Yeah, I wonder if it's like a eminent domain sort of a thing that is, hey, here is what the land is worth or what your property is worth. And here you go and find a place to live. Or if they had housing that they built somewhere close by, because it sounds like they had... what was it?
Oh, it does sound like they were compensated with cash.
Oh, yeah. They have a relocation budget. Sure.
Yeah.
So they were given something. And 8,000 divided by 260, you know, $269 million divided 8,000 times.
Yeah. And I just, thinking about it, you know, it's like sad to have to displace so many people to build this. But at the same time, you have to think in the way of progress.
So each person, they talk about 8,000 people. If this is accurate, that would be $36,625 each.
Mm-hmm. Either with cash or with a new house.
Yeah.
Right.
Okay.
And, and they were offered jobs in tourism or support services.
Yeah, yeah. This is a win-win. This is a win-win-win.
And I mean, you know, people have sentimentality when it comes to where they live, their neighbors and whatnot. But yeah, I don't know. It's for progress, hopefully.
Yeah. And I'm thinking that they're probably better off, like the houses that they got are probably pretty nice compared to where they used to live, right?
Hopefully.
Here's hoping. It'd be kind of crappy if you were stepping down.
Yeah.
So if you would like to give us some feedback on this, what are your thoughts, dear listener? You can do that by emailing aliens@gncasts.com. That's aliens@gncasts.com. You can call our voicemail number, which is 805-328-3966. 805-328-3966. There's also a page on our website where you can click a thing and leave us a message through the website. I forget if it's still on. Yeah, there's not a specific page. It's on every page. It's on the left-hand side. You click on that, and you leave us a message through your browser or through your smartphone. It's pretty cool. So again, gncasts.com. You can do that there. Email aliens@gncasts.com or the voicemail number 805-328-3966. 3966.
If you like what you've heard on this Galactic Network podcast, please consider helping us out financially by going to gncast.com/support. On that page, you'll find links to our Patreon campaign where you can make a small recurring monthly pledge of as little as $1. Or click on our Amazon affiliate link, make a purchase, and we get a very small percentage from the sale. Again, go to gncast.com/support. And thank you for supporting the Galactic Network podcast.
This comes to us from inverse.com. Chill out, Stephen Hawking. Aliens probably won't kill us.
Thank God.
Reassuring. If the internet has taught us anything, there are plenty of people who absolutely freak out about aliens. That club includes one of the smartest people alive, Stephen Hawking, who has been anything but shy about expressing strong fears that a hostile alien civilization could one day blow up humanity and blow them up to smithereens. Eternally optimistic Seth Soschik, has the opposite point of view. The director for the Center of SETI Research at the SETI Institute in Mountain View, California, published an opinion piece in The Guardian on Tuesday, just 2 days ago, rebutting Hawking's ideas about hostile aliens, most recently expressed in the new film, Stephen Hawking's Favorite Places. Shostak acknowledges that, sure, aliens might be dangerous. He's quoted as saying, "We have no clue as to the intentions of putative extraterrestrials. Perhaps they live in a utopian Shangri-La, similar to the one we've always said we want for ourselves, a place that values peace as well as the neighbors." But Shostak also makes a very critical point. It's too late. Since the Second World War, he wrote, "We've been broadcasting television, high-frequency radio, and, most conspicuously, radar into the heavens."
I was going to say, we've been broadcasting the Spice Girls' Wannabe for when that song came out, 1997 or something like that?
As well you should, because the Spice Girls kick ass. I don't care what anybody says.
This goes back to a conversation that we had last week where I said, hey, that movie Contact, remember that? And
yep.
In relation to sending out signals, because at the beginning of that movie, there's that scene. Anyways, sorry. Go ahead.
I'll tell you what I want, what I really, really want.
So tell me what you want, what you really, really want.
I want to read more of this story.
Okay.
Okay. Moreover, there's the fact that being suspicious of extraterrestrials is simply a sad way for us to go about exploring the universe. Thankfully, while Hawking may be the most prolific scientist urging caution about SETI ventures, he's in the minority. Other researchers are locked in arms with Shostak, and instead of promoting a sunnier outlook, is promoting a sunnier outlook at the idea of finding intelligent alien life. After all, what could possibly be more exciting and consequential? This story is written like dirt. consequentially, discovery that, that learning humans are not alone in the universe. Hawking's position is strange, and we talked about this last week, given that he's the de facto face of the Breakthrough Starshot initiative, which seeks to successfully send spacecraft out into interstellar space and investigate the Alpha Centauri star system for life and habitable worlds. But there's actually a good argument to be made that apocalyptic fears are what drove Hawking to sign up with Breakthrough in the first place. If humanity is likely going to drive itself into oblivion by staying here on Earth, it's probably better to take our chances with running into hostile aliens and becoming a starfaring species.
Well, you know, you have to take the good with the bad, right?
Yeah, you kind of do.
If you're going to do one thing, you expect something else. You have any more on this story? Do you want to continue? Want to move on? You want to go forward?
I think we should move on.
All right. We're the Else Nerds.
Hello, I'm Gregor Sprague, and this is the Else Nerds. Now, what are the Else Nerds? Well, it's myself and Corey Scott, along with our producers, Beatmaster and Evan Rockde, as we talk about everything that is on our nerdy little heart, whether it be comic books, movies, TV shows, video games, cell phones, the moments that we're walking down the street and a person says hi. It doesn't matter. We talk about everything, and you can find it at elsenerds.com.
You're listening to a Galactic Network podcast. Please identify the craft you witnessed.
A black triangular three-dimensional shape, huge, just flying, hovering in it.
Shaped like almost like between an egg and like a teardrop.
Two long cylinder objects flying over me.
We had a dome. I could see the occupants in it.
It appeared to be rotating, and it was almost circular to disc shape, and it hovered for maybe about 5 minutes.
All right, here we go. Sightings time. Somebody that's seen something peculiar. Peculiar. What's the word?
Peculiar.
It's okay. I think I've been making up words all night, so it's fine. So square-shaped craft seen and photographed in California.
Ooh.
Marietta, California. This happened back in 2008, February 7th, at 2:15 a.m. So full description of sighting. I was sitting up late last night, or how early, however you look at it, watching the NFL Network when I heard the next door neighbor's two dogs begin to bark frantically. About 2 to 3 minutes after that, I heard a very soft or low soft crescendoing. Oh, interesting. That's like really crescendoing.
How would you
low and soft? I was really confused.
Oh, maybe they're saying it started low and soft, and yeah. Then it got louder.
So anyway, so I heard a very low soft crescendoing guttural vibration that was so low it began shaking the cabinets in the kitchen. At first I thought it was our heating unit making crazy noises, but I soon realized the sound was coming from outside. I stepped outside my front door and instantly I found the source of the sounds. When I looked up, there was a very large square, possibly triangular, depends if I was seeing it at an angle, machine/craft, whatever you want to call it. It seemed to be spinning from right to left and making slow banking maneuvers. The two pictures I have of the object seem to show it making banking maneuvers. When I realized this was something I had never seen before, civilian or military, I reached inside the front door and grabbed my cell phone off of the light stand and snapped off a pretty decent picture. Of course, like most UFO pictures, it's a little blurry. My cell phone is a very low resolution phone. After that, I ran into my bedroom and grabbed my digital camera in hopes of getting a more detailed picture, but I was so nervous and jazzed about what I was seeing. The second picture that I had time to take was not that good either. The object, in my opinion, was moving at a high rate for its apparent size. I'm not very good at guessing speeds, but I would say it was traveling in the mid-100s. The object continued on its southern to northerly pattern and finally disappeared into the night. To describe the object, I would have to say it looked like a huge pizza box with lights on two of its seemingly four side panels that were opposite of each other. The one thing I noticed from being in the military and the fact there are bases all over the place out here, I initially thought military primarily because the object had a dull military blue hue-gray color. However, this was no craft that I have ever experienced, military or any other.
And I'm doing a screen share right now for our YouTube listeners so that they can see the photos that were submitted along with this particular witness description here.
And the first, the one on top is an artist rendering.
Right.
Yep.
Yeah, because I was going to say, he's really downplaying his photography skills.
Yeah, and the one...
That one wasn't that good either. Yes,
the one below, which... he was too jazzed and had such a crappy phone. He got blurry lights. So there you go.
It looks like something that was just thrown up in the middle of the air, and he threw it up with one hand and then snapped a picture with the other hand.
You know, it really looks like the
and it was flashing.
It looks like the ass end of the Millennium Falcon, like the quadcopter versions that they have of the Millennium Falcon.
Yeah. I can see that.
Oh my God, we have a theme. Because last week we had the Millennium Falcon UFO.
What? Oh, I forgot all about that. Yeah, we did.
Weird.
Although if it were the quadcopter, I don't really see it shaking his house.
No, definitely not. Definitely not.
Interesting. Interesting.
So, I know. And it made a lot of maneuvers. Well, they're more gestures, really. Sorry.
So there you go.
Yeah.
I was going to say, if anybody listening has ever seen anything unusual, they would like to share their story. We'd love to hear it. We've gotten a couple of those, actually. aliens@gncasts.com. That's aliens@gncasts.com. Or the voicemail number is 805-328-3966. So this happened at 2 in the morning, right?
Yep. About 2:15 in the morning. And
he was watching the NFL Network.
Yep.
I hope the NFL Network doesn't sue us for mentioning the NFL Network. Because I know how...
We could mention the NFL Network again.
So he was watching the NFL Network.
Yes, he definitely...
Are you sure he was watching the NFL Network?
He's totally watching it.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. The NFL Network.
You know what kills me about these sightings is nobody ever has a good camera. Or takes a decent picture. They're always...
You know, and but I have to say, I really appreciate this particular sighting because he knows that these pictures aren't great. And there's a lot of people out there that take UFO pictures and they're like, look, it's definitely a UFO. And you see like this little blurry blob or a little blurry streak. And you're like, yeah, okay. And he's like, look, I'm being honest. I was super jazzed up about this, shaking, nervous. Not a steady hand. I realize it's blurry, but here you go.
Good point.
I know this picture's crap, but here's what I got.
Yeah.
Yep.
No, that's a very good point.
You get to check out the crap. And he's being very honest about it.
I wonder who made that artist rendering.
Let me see. Because he had additional information, too. And he's writing to someone by the name of Brian, who is the director of HBCC UFO Research. And in this additional information... He mentions, so here are the pics, and I have also included a 3D Photoshop image of what the craft looked like from my perspective. So it sounds like he probably ended up doing the Photoshopping and saying, this is what I actually saw. This is my rendition. The witness put together the image.
Oh, okay.
The artist's rendering, the artist's rendition is the witness.
Oh, okay.
And he sent it to... Brian Vike.
Wow, he's got some skills.
From the HBCC UFO Research.
Yeah. If you would like to chat with the hosts or other listeners of this Galactic Network podcast 24 hours a day, go to gncast.com/signup. We'll add you to our Slack team so you'll have the ability to interact with us in real time. Again, go to gncast.com/signup.
All right, so let's move on to our picks and warnings. These are things that we have watched, listened to, read, made, played, whatever, all concerning extraterrestrials and aliens. And we rate it on a flying saucer scale. And it looks like Brad is first up. Brad, what did you check out this week?
I have been watching the second season of Rick and Morty, which I found on Hulu. I don't know when they released it. I haven't been checking out Hulu for most of the summer because, of course, a lot of the shows I watch don't start until fall. So I think I started watching season 2 on Monday, and today is Thursday. So I've been watching it during my lunch breaks, and I just finished up season 2, episode 6, which is called The Ricks Must Be Crazy. Now, for those of you who aren't in the know, Rick and Morty is co-written by Dan Harmon and I can't remember the other gentleman's name. It is, if you've seen Community, it has a bit of that type of humor, but the situations are obviously incredibly different. Rick is Rick Sanchez, and he is the grandfather of Morty. And Rick lives with Morty, his sister, and his mother and father. Now, Rick's daughter is Morty's mother. So, Rick is a horrendously morally bankrupt alcoholic genius. And he's always doing ethically questionable things. But he does have a bit of a heart of gold, and he does have a soft spot for Morty. And he does elaborate things that I think he wants to celebrate his own genius. So in this particular episode, his vehicle, which is basically, it's a flying saucer, but it has wheels so it can travel on the road, in the air, and in space. And the vehicle has basically car trouble. And it turns out that the the battery to his car is not working. And it turns out that the battery is a micro universe, which is inside of his car.
Common problem.
Yeah, common problem. And he goes inside of the micro. He takes Morty with him. Okay. The other thing about Rick and Morty is there is always sort of a parable, as it were, of be careful what you wish for. In order to keep the rest of the family kind of in the story, when Rick and Morty do their thing, there's often an aside as to what the rest of the family is doing or a certain family member. And in this case, they went to see this movie with Morty's sister, Summer, and Morty and Rick went into the mini universe and he told the flying saucer to keep Summer safe. Unfortunately, somebody came up to the flying saucer and was asking for help, and the flying saucer like cut him into squares, essentially. If any of you have seen the first Resident Evil with the whole laser grid thing that cut the person into cubes, it was exactly like that.
Oh my God.
Yeah. And Summer, of course, is mortified by this, and she tells the vehicle, hey, don't kill people. So the next time somebody does something, the vehicle shoots the person with the laser in the spine and severs their connection to their legs.
Because that's better, I guess.
Well, there's the thing. Rick wants to keep Summer safe. Like I said, he's morally bankrupt. And Summer, in her wisdom to... She has a reasonable request, but unfortunately she doesn't frame her request in a fashion that doesn't unintentionally harm others. Not that I'm blaming Summer. Now, one of the guest voices in this episode is Stephen Colbert.
Nice.
Yes. Now, Stephen Colbert has done other voice work. He was a semi-regular on Birdman before he got his the Colbert Report. And it was just so wonderful to see him or to hear his voice in an episode. And it turns out that Rick has created this mini universe and he visited the mini universe and gave them a device that they had to constantly be stepping on to generate power. And the power that is generated, 80% goes to Rick. That's what's used for his vehicle. Now, what Rick finds out is that there is a brilliant scientist in this mini universe, and he has a plan to create a mini universe and have these people generate electricity for him.
Smart.
Yeah, and it gets into sort of Inception type level stuff.
That's where the Ricks come in, I'm guessing.
Yeah. Yes. So I'm not going to tell you what happens in the entire episode because that's ridiculous. But in every episode, like I said, there is something to be learned. And usually it means somebody in the family has been mentally scarred. Summer is not the same after this incident. and you really need to watch it. And Rick finds a way to save the day, as it were, and get what he wants, which tends to happen a lot. So I highly recommend watching Rick and Morty on Netflix if you aren't a fan already. It's wonderful storytelling. It's wildly outlandish in most cases. And it's a great reminder that your life isn't quite so bad. So Rick and Morty, there you go. The Ricks must be crazy. Season 2, episode 6.
I've heard so many great things about Rick and Morty. I should look it up to see if we have it here. I'm sure that we do.
Yeah, it is delightfully messed up. If you like that kind of humor that involves... Basically, it's like a sitcom that can go just a little bit further than your regular sitcom.
Oh my God, we don't have it here.
Oh my God.
Boo.
No, it looks like we don't, at least on Netflix, we don't have it. It may be available somewhere else. I have seen commercials for it on one of the kids' networks. Oh,
and for those who have YouTube, this is our Funko of Rick with his portal gun that he uses to travel to other dimensions and other places.
Sweet.
Yeah.
So what's coming out of his mouth?
He's an alcoholic. So it's probably some kind of booze, or it could be vomit. We don't know.
Good to know.
Yeah.
All right.
But it's usually green.
So how many flying saucers are you going to give this bad boy?
Oh, I would give it 5. Absolutely.
Wow. 5 out of 5 flying saucers.
Yeah.
That doesn't happen very often.
No, it doesn't. But it is truly enjoyable. And, you know, every episode you watch, you find yourself questioning your own life choices, too.
Well, like you said, it's a parable.
It really is.
You learn something every episode. All right. My pick this week is Conspiracy. It's a show called Conspiracy, although on Netflix, it comes up as Conspiracies on the main, like, image for the show. But then you dig deeper and it's Conspiracy. So that's where I had a hard time finding any information about this show initially, but I figured it out eventually, and the rest is history. Anyways, the show is about conspiracies. Wow, that's amazing.
Really?
Yeah.
I never would have guessed.
Right on the nose.
Truth in advertising.
Anyways, it's a series that was on in the UK last year for one series, and that's all they did. And this episode is called The Alien Files, and this was the final edition of the series, examined a range of conspiracy theories related to extraterrestrials. And it being in Britain, of course, what do you think one of the events they talked about or discussed was? Any guesses?
Oh, man.
They mentioned that, but what's the most known, like, UFO incident in the UK? What's the most...
Oh, Roswell, totally in the UK.
Rendlesham.
Yes, Rendlesham. Thank you.
I'm sorry, I'm being a goof.
Yes.
Yes, Rendlesham Forest. That was discussed on this episode. Also, an incident with, Robert Taylor. He's the old guy, I think it was back in the 70s, who was walking his dog in the woods. And he came into like a clearing, and there was a UFO. And he basically got knocked out by things that were coming out of it, and like chemicals that were released from this UFO. I don't know. I think we talked about it on a previous episode as our sighting, I think. But I want to go back to the Rendlesham Forest. This is the first series or first like documentary series that I've watched that has covered the Rendlesham Forest incident, that they didn't play the audio from the guy, you know, the audio of the colonel as he's walking through the woods or whatever. He's like, this is weird. That's weird. And they actually didn't play that. And I was waiting for it, because every single documentary series that I've watched about the Rendlesham Forest always plays that audio, no matter what. And they didn't play it in this one. I was kind of sad.
Were you disappointed?
That was weird.
That was weird. I was disappointed, Anessa. Very much so.
I don't blame you.
Let's see, what else? And they also talk about the Kelvin UFO photo, which was this incident in the early 90s. These hikers in Scotland were out, and they both had... Maybe just one of the guys had a really good camera, and they took a picture of this diamond-shaped UFO that was just kind of floating there, hanging there in the air for minutes. And apparently they gave the picture to the newspaper, the local newspaper, and they were supposed to print it, but eventually they didn't print it, the story about it. And this is where Nick Pope came in. Because Nick Pope was also on this episode, and he was talking about this incident, it being like the most famous, like as far as the clearest picture of a UFO that the Ministry of Defense, which is where he worked, ever had. And he had the picture blown up into a poster size and had it on his office wall for a long, long time. People used to come in and like comment on it. And then one day, Nick Pope walked into his office, and it was missing. It was gone. It never to be seen ever again. So, was it a cover-up?
Did somebody just want the picture?
I could just see...
That would look great in my bathroom.
I could just see Nick Pope going...
While I'm on the pot.
Nick Pope is going from office to office going, have you seen my poster?
I do recall him talking about that at some point.
Really?
It might have been the conference that I was at.
You were at a conference with Nick Pope?
I think I mentioned it on a show a couple years ago, but I was in Texas in January of 2015. Mm-hmm. And anyway, I went to a UFO conference in Del Rio and Nick Pope was there.
Oh, I do remember you talking about that, but I don't remember the fact that he was there.
Thinking about it, and I'm like, yeah, that story actually sounds really familiar, and I wonder if that's where I heard it.
Well, cool.
Crazy.
Yeah. It's all coming back around again.
It is.
One of the other things they mentioned, too, was the Filet Lander. You're familiar with the Filet Lander, right?
Yes. They have great chicken.
The Filet of Fish Lander. And one of the conspiracies is it wasn't sent out to that comet to study it. It was sent out to that comet to make contact with aliens. Because this guy had photographic proof. He showed the picture of the comet, and there's a tower, and then there's a little UFO kind of hovering above it. He's like, yep, it's all a conspiracy. It's a cover-up. The government wouldn't spend this amount of money just for scientific research. But I did enjoy it. So if you have Netflix, I don't know if this is on U.S. Netflix. This was on Canadian Netflix, but it's called Conspiracy, and the episode is called The Alien Files. So check it out.
Ooh.
I'm going to give it 3.5 out of 5 flying saucers.
Nice.
That ain't bad.
It was very well put together. I was impressed by how the quality of the show.
I will have to look to see if it's on Netflix here.
Yeah.
I kind of want to see it.
Some of the episodes, there's some other interesting topics that the show discussed in other episodes. So I'm thinking about going back and watching some other ones. Because I do a podcast on this network that talks about conspiracies called Weird World Weekly. So maybe I'll watch another episode and talk about it on that podcast. It'll be a multi-podcast show.
Excellent.
All right, Anessa, what is your pick and or warning this week?
It is Ancient Aliens, the game. It is available on Android and iOS, so no excuse. Downloaded it, started playing, and essentially it is like a city-building game. And so it starts off with crazy-haired dude talking.
Oh, I was going to ask you if he was in it.
His actual name or not. Giorgio, I don't remember the last name. Anyway.
Three classes.
He's
Papadopoulos.
Yes. And he's talking about like some of the reasons that perhaps aliens are coming to Earth. Are they trying to find a new home because their planet's dying? Are they trying to find gold? Maybe the aliens coming to Earth looking for gold is what inspired, maybe, I don't know if that's the right word, people to seek gold. Because, you know, we became really gold obsessed for a while, and some people still are. Anyway, so, you know, he's tossing out different theories and whatnot. And then you end up starting the game you start as a human. You get abducted and they do some funky stuff to your DNA and you're suddenly a hybrid. And so your task is to build a city, and you abduct primitive humans, you manipulate their DNA, and you help them
build this city on rock and roll.
Yes. Establish a civilization and build the Pyramid of Giza. That's your ultimate goal, is to build the Pyramid of Giza. So it's it's interesting. It kind of reminds me of an alien, ancient alien themed Farmville, because you're like planting crops and building houses and
do you get to use
whatnot.
Do you get to use advanced technology to build these things?
Kind of. You click on the cool looking icon and then you're like, build a house. And then you place where it is, because it's a city building game. And but no, you do get to abduct humans and
fun.
You can probe them. I mean, it's not graphic or anything, but you've got the probe button, but it limits you as to how many times you can probe them in a row. And then you have to wait however many minutes before you can start probing again.
There's a joke in there somewhere.
Commence the probing!
I know! And then you've got this timer, depending on what you're working on or what you're doing, it can raise... And the other thing, too, is you kind of have to keep it pretty low-key. You can't be obvious about what you're doing. Because if people start to notice, and I imagine it really builds up when you get more and more humans in the picture... there's a timer that'll go off and, or it starts counting down rather, and you have to try to not really do much of anything to get them to notice you, because that's the timer for plausible deniability. So anyway, it's kind of interesting. It's an interesting twist on a silly building game, city building game. There is a lot of waiting. You got to wait for your houses to upgrade, your farms to be ready. There's different artifacts that you can collect that would be like evidence, I guess, of extraterrestrial life, because there's like little wooden airplanes. And I couldn't tell what the other thing was, though. It looked like a tombstone almost. But anyway, like you would tap on it and you get more little alien head dudes, and you can use those to like build houses. And whatnot. So anyway, it's free, but they're with most apps these days, you can do in-app purchases that would probably speed along the game quite a bit. But if you're just wanting to kill a few minutes here and there, I would recommend it.
How many flying saucers?
I'd give it 3.
All right.
100.
I mean, like, if someone was like, hey, would you suggest people play Ancient Aliens the game or Fallout Shelter? I'd be like, Fallout Shelter, duh.
Okay.
But, you know, if you want to try something new.
So it's not terrible, but it's not awesome either.
Right.
Okay.
It's like in the middle.
Yeah.
And, like, I kind of glanced at a few of the reviews, and despite the description saying that, you know, it's this climactic story, some people say that ending is kind of anticlimactic. So,
Okay. Well,
just throwing that out there. Don't really say what the ending is, but they're like, yeah, it's kind of.
Well, Anessa, keep playing and get back to us when you reach the end.
Sounds good.
You can be our judge.
I can build the Pyramid of Giza.
You can build the city.
On rock and roll.
Rock and roll.
Please subscribe to this Galactic Network podcast by going gncast.com/subscribe. Or search iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play Music, or anywhere podcasts are offered.
And that's going to do it for this episode of The Alien Invasion. Final thoughts, Mr. Brad.
I am looking forward to finishing out the second season of Rick and Morty.
Yeah.
And I know that they've signed up to do at least 2 more seasons, so there will be more.
Morty.
And Rick.
All right. And Anessa, what is your final thought?
You can't spell platypodes without a typo.
All right.
Which platypodes is actually the correct plural form of platypus.
I had no
idea.
It's
not platypi, contrary to popular belief.
Oh, I see a typo there. Yeah, you're right. Neat.
It is. That's crazy.
And shirt.woot has a shirt that says you can't spell platypus or platypos. Without a typo, but yeah, it's kind of a typo. It's misspelt. It's missing the D and the E. So anyway, and there's only one platypus on the shirt, so meh.
I was going to
mention... that's just ridiculous.
I know.
Yeah. Rule number one.
I like the idea of the shirt, though.
Rule number one, if you're going to have a t-shirt with a platypus, have more than one.
If you're going to do the plural thing, then yeah, I suppose.
All right.
Platypodes.
I mentioned at the very top of the show that wanted to thank our new outro music, and you're listening to it right now. We'd like to thank, and I'm going to totally butcher his name, by the way, Richard von Dernberg. He's a composer from Germany. He reached out to us. He said, can I put my song on your podcast? And I'm like, yeah, you can. So it's called Be Water. And you can learn more about him and his music at the Caravel, Caravel. Is that the right way to pronounce it, do you think, guys?
I would say the Caravel, but I don't know. Caramel.
Don't confuse them.
Carl. Coral.
Maybe. Coral. Can Retward von Dernberg, like, let us know how to say his name so we're not butchering it in every episode?
No, he did send me a pronunciation guide, but he has a thick German accent, and I couldn't figure out how to pronounce it. So,
send it my way. I'll give it a try. Not that I know German, but...
You took the German, didn't you?
No, my mother got mad. I had to take Spanish instead.
Fair enough.
But I had plenty of friends and a roommate that spoke German, so, you know, I can say thank you. And
you learn German by proxy. Osmosis.
Yeah, so...
All right. Again, thank you for joining us, everybody. This is... The Alien Invasion, a Galactic Network podcast. Until next time, have a great week.
Bye.
This has been a Galactic Network podcast. For more, go to gncast.com. That's gncasts.com.